Hi, and welcome to Rooted with Jess and Tamara. I'm Jess.
And I'm Tamara. In this episode, we'll be discussing the importance of defining your own version of success. If you're a fan of the content in this episode, please follow us or press the subscribe button and share our podcast with a friend.
So Tamara, what do you think of when you think of success?
I think of what is right for me at this stage of my life, what brings me fulfillment, what lights me up and makes me want to get out of bed in the morning, what allows me to be the best version of myself, first for me and also for the people that I love. What about you?
I think that what offers fulfillment is definitely something that aligns with my spirit as well. For me, there was a time that I looked at success as something external, defined how much I was doing, what I possessed, how I appeared to others. And that is still probably something that comes up every now and again, though not as much as it once did. As a mother and an entrepreneur, today I see success as quality of life. When I lay my head down at night, I wonder, what did I do today that made a difference? Or what difference did I make in my life today? What presence did I carry? Like, that is an ongoing measure of my success these days, especially with my kids and in my work life. I was reminded as I was thinking about, you know, our discussion today, I was reminded about a quote by Maya Angelou. She says, success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeats so you can know who you are, what you can rise from, and how you can still come out of it.
I love that. And I love Maya Angelou as well. And that's a profound shift that you talked about over time. And it also strikes me that your perspective on success moved from external or what was visible to others to internal and what was meaningful to you. What do you think, Jess, are the experience or ideas that kept you from changing this perception of success sooner?
Probably perceptions from childhood. One of the memories I have is my dad worked all the time. For as long as I remember, like, he was always working, and work came before presence. And not much has changed, because even today he puts work before joy. Like, he talks a lot about the future. He talks a lot about, like, when I retire. And witnessing that had a pretty profound impact on me. But what prevented me from seeing success as I see it today sooner had a lot to do with this learned idea that I have to, like, work my ass off in order to be successful, that, like, who I am is defined by how much I do. And that was probably what I mean, that's probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned, is that that's really not true. I don't want to wait for happiness at another time. And, you know, who I am today is enough, is more than enough.
Wow. That's really powerful. The impact of our experiences from our past that cause us to carry those limiting beliefs in the present about our own version of success. I do think that what often holds us back from defining success for ourselves is our perceived limitations. You mentioned that learned idea that who you are will never be good enough. And I think that often turns into a recording of negative self-talk that will play over and over again in our head. And it prevents us from believing that we can be successful. Arianna Huffington, who I love, she's the co-founder of the Huffington Post and founder and CEO of Thrive Global, says that even our worst enemies don't talk about us the way that we talk to ourselves. She calls this voice the obnoxious roommate. living in our head, and it feeds on putting us down and strengthening our insecurities and doubts. She said that she wishes someone would invent a tape recorder that we could attach to our brains to record everything we tell ourselves, because we'd realize how important it is to stop this negative self-talk, and that educating our obnoxious roommate requires really redefining success and what it means to live a life that matters, which will be different for each of us according to our own values and goals, and not those that are imposed on us from others or society. I don't think we'll ever be able to get rid of that obnoxious roommate. I don't think I'll be able to ever, you know, evict that obnoxious roommate from my head. I've been trying for a lot of years, because our mind's constantly creating a narrative, and that narrative can be positive or negative, but hopefully by defining our own version of success, we're able to quiet that voice. I saw something in my meditation app that I use yesterday, and it talked about, you know, we're constantly planting seeds in our brain, in terms of whether those be positive or negative thoughts. And we just need to overall decide what we want to grow and plant those bright seeds.
There's a memoir called The Top Five Regrets of Dying. I know it's kind of a little bit of a shift, but it's by author Bronnie Ware. It's her recordings of those that were departing. And this sticks with me so much these days, because I think I want to realize this now. I want to realize these inner successes now rather than the external ones. Mm-hmm. So she says there's five things. Number one is they wish they had courage to live true to themselves and not what others expected of them. Number two is they wish they hadn't worked so hard. Mm. Number three is they wish they had the courage to express their feelings. Number four is they wish they had stayed in touch with friends. And number five is they wish they had let themselves be happier, that they had let themselves be happier. And this is something I think about just a lot these days, because more and more as my kids grow, as like each day goes by, life feels fleeting. We can't go backwards, and I don't want to or think it necessary to live by the blueprint of someone else's version of success. Success for me today has a lot to do with these regrets and having the courage to embrace the ideas and the passions and the dreams that come to me, regardless of how uncomfortable or scary they feel, and really allowing myself to be at peace with who I am and to walk in my own individual path, as I believe everyone else should do as well, or could do, or I encourage, however you want to say that, I'd encourage everyone to walk in their own individual path.
Amen to that. And I can relate to that feeling and relationship between regrets and success, and jumping into the things that come to you, even when it's scary. When my friend Murray Foster, who's a Canadian musician, asked me to raise the investor funds for his first feature film, I just jumped in and said yes. I didn't even give myself time to think about it. At the time, I had no idea how it fit into my version of success, because I didn't even have a version. I didn't have a vision. All I knew is that I had always wanted to be part of the film industry. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be part of the film industry. And this was finally my chance to do that. I'd never had that opportunity or never found that opportunity for myself before. So I dived into the deep end, and I had to push hard at every step against what I perceived as my limitations and feelings of really being unworthy, that voice in my head that said, who was I? Who was I to enter a new industry, to learn new skills, to have a seat at that table, and to even lead at that table. And it wasn't easy. I had self-doubt, negative thoughts, but I also found out through that process, that I had so many transferable skills that I hadn't given myself credit for. I was uniquely qualified for that challenge. I had business and leadership skills through my corporate career. I had fundraising and presentation skills through my children's charity, Lonnie Smile. And I had relationship building skills that I had gained through both of those. And most of all, I was so passionate about the project and beyond excited about the opportunity. I had everything I needed. I just hadn't applied it in the film industry. And it was through taking that leap of faith that I discovered my own version of success, and it changed my life in ways that I could never have imagined. It has changed so many things in my life. And I actually saw Murray last weekend for breakfast, and we were talking about different things that I was doing in my life. And he said, look at you. And I said, you know, it all started with that. Everything came from that. And I was able to, thank him, as I often do, for really changing the trajectory of my life through that opportunity. So maybe the lesson when I think about my own story is that you don't always need to have a roadmap. I couldn't have imagined where that would have led. And sometimes you just need to be open to the universe and its possibilities, and your own version of success will present itself, and it will be far more magical than anything you could have ever planned.
Yeah, I love that. There's almost a sense of willingness that you gained somewhere along the journey, a sense of willingness to explore or to be available to different opportunities. And I've experienced that in my life as I've stepped into this new, into my new versions of success, which go outside of a career I've had for over 11 years. It's like a whole new journey, a whole new path. And as I've opened to that little by little, I have people coming into my life that I've gained these opportunities with that are just divinely placed, in a sense, like people that are supporting me, and they can see the talents that I have in those areas. Similar to what you said, Marie saw the talent in you. One of the best demonstrations I think that I experienced happened in 2020, which obviously, well, were you there? Do you remember what happened in 2020?
Forget what happened in 2020.
I had just received my lowest paycheck, and with the business again that I've had for 11 years, and I felt pulled. Now, a lot had happened before then. There was a lot of healing that I went through in 2019. So when 2020 came in, it was interesting because the world was shutting down. There was definitely fear that I felt and that I witnessed around me, but because I had gone through so much in 2019, which is a story for a different day, 2020 came around. I was like, nah, I'm not shutting down. Like, we're going to figure this out. And I had received my lowest paycheck. I was anxious, but I was also fed up with being anxious. I was fed up with feeling so scared and so gripped. So I began giving a lot of time to writing, which is not something that, if I had really reasoned, what I would have allowed myself to do, because my reasoning mind was like, no, you need to keep working. You need to stay focused. Like, look at the economy and the state of the world, like just work, keep your head down and work. But I was pulled with this desire. And so at the time, what I was writing was something I did not even imagine I would be sharing with anybody else. As time progressed, that writing turned into a workshop, which focused on healing from anxiety, which focused on spiritual and philosophical principles. And this isn't a new identity. This is something that I've always, in my private time, studied or, you know, kind of kept to myself, but it's definitely one of those things that I could not necessarily relate to my day-to-day job in publishing. You know, I mean, you know, it's part of my life, but it's not something I'd openly talk about. And so it was just a whole new path. And I just kept feeling, just write it all down for now. It's fine. And I, you know, experienced self-doubt through all of that. But eventually I shared this with somebody who saw in me what I was not seeing for myself. And she encouraged me to share this in a talk, in a sermon on a Sunday. And then she encouraged me to promote my workshop. And so I did that. I did the talk, a talking engagement. And then I gave my workshop. I had about 30 people there for that. And I was like nervous, but it was beautiful. It was such an amazing experience. And then from that, I had other little talking engagements. And even now, like more and more of these opportunities have just opened to me that I could have never imagined. I could have never expected. And it's just been a wonderful lesson of what can happen when we decide to be obedient to the desires that we have, when we allow ourselves to let those ideas not be just idle thoughts, but let them pull us, and how that is so helpful in creating or realizing what our version of success is, whether it be to be happy or to write a workshop or to, you know, to have presence with our kids, whatever that may be.
There are a couple things many things that struck me in what you said, but that just right. So you were open to the universe and you just felt that that is what you needed to do, even if it went against all of the logic of the economy and where things were. You just allowed that to be. And you also talked about just, you know, people seeing things in you that you don't even see yourself. And that made me think back to when I was working on the film previously to the film, when Murray asked me to be part of it. And he said, I see what you do with Lonnie Smile and the Children's Charity. And I see how you present, and I see how you're able to raise funds. Mm-hmm. And I've said to many people since, you don't know who's watching you and what they see and where the opportunities will come. So just keep doing what you're doing and staying true to your heart, and it will go from there. And I love how you talk about feeling pulled with that desire to write, and how you felt like you had to do it, and just giving into that desire. And for both of us, that led to opportunities beyond anything we could have imagined if we had tried to plan it out ourselves. When you talked about that, how that journey started for you in 2020 in the height of the pandemic, which, yes, I do remember, it made me think about how our version of success can change based on what's going on in the world around us and in our own world. So a client that I worked with recently wanted to come up with a strategy for more fulfillment in his life. And ultimately, his vision, like most of our visions, is to one day transition from his 9-to-5 job and have the freedom to do what he wants, when he wants, and with who he wants, while still being involved in making a meaningful change for others. So at the time we started working together, he and his partner had just found out that they were expecting a baby. So the version of success that he created for himself over our time together was within that context. What would bring him more fulfillment now while he was starting a family? Long-term, his version of success of having the freedom to do what he wants may stay the same. But like you said, life is fleeting, and just like everything is constantly changing in, you know, meditation and yoga, we often refer to it as impermanence. Everything is always changing around us in our lives and in the environment. Our version of success can and will and should change over time, whether that's because of life circumstances, what we learn about ourselves or as opportunities present themselves that can entirely change our trajectory and our definition of success.
I think that's so powerful because life does change. And having the capacity, the ability, the willingness to redirect based on what we're experiencing in our present moments, based on the new changes that are happening in our lives and the new growth maybe we're experiencing, to explore what that looks like or what that leads to, is such a critical piece of redefining success, because we can't stay the same throughout life. We are constantly changing. What comes to mind is that in 2020, I realized I wasn't alone in walking towards a new path. I've met so many people along the way who have stepped out of the box, similar to myself, to do things completely opposite of what they were doing. I have the unique privilege of running two neighborhood magazines that share personal stories about people's lives. And there's many stories that came through in 2020 and 2021 that I published in my magazine that were about people changing course. Someone going from being a teacher to creating jewelry, which came from collecting stones home in a different state by a lake. She had grown up collecting these beautiful stones. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I can make jewelry out of it. And she took like a blacksmithing class or silversmithing class and like learned how to create these beautiful rings. And now she sells them. And then there's another woman who went from being an esthetician to launching her interior design business. And it was like, you know, all these things that people are just like, wait, you know, it's the perfect time. This isn't working for me. It's not really what I love to do. Let me just explore a little bit, which I think was a blessing that 2020 brought, you know, to many. I know that was a difficult year for many as well, but it was an opportunity to redefine, redirect. I mean, we had no choice. Another story that stands out is from my workshop. One of the attendees had gotten this job. She had been hired for this job that paid really, really well. And she was very excited about it. But what she realized is that over time, it was really costing her time with her kids and her family. And she was feeling drained and not feeling fulfilled in this role. And so she made the choice to switch up her job. And she took on something that paid less, but she gained her time back with her family. And for her, similar to your story, making that choice for presence with her family and her kids and her husband over money, even though money can be looked at as a form of success, was her way of redefining it for her life. So I love that. She said it was one of the best decisions she's ever made.
Those are great stories. And I was imagining when you were talking about the jewelry and making rings, just during the pandemic, when it was so quiet and we had so much solitude, walking along the beach, picking up stones and saying, hey, I can make something with this. And having that quietness of mind for that idea and opportunity to present itself. And I think that the pandemic caused a lot of us to reevaluate and redefine our own version of success and the value of that pause and reset is something positive I took away, and that I'm trying to continue to incorporate in my life when things are very busy again and all ramped up, because everything is constantly changing and your own version of success will too over time, just like the individual that you were talking about in terms of, I want to spend more time with my family and this is not serving me well. My other biggest takeaway is that when you're open to the universe, and I think it's come up a lot during our conversation, and you lean into those opportunities that present themselves and push back against your negative self-talk, as difficult as that can be, some days more than others, then you'll find your best version of success. What about you, Jess? What are your biggest takeaways, and what would you encourage others to consider when defining their own version of success?
I would say the first thing would be to know your values and to follow your happiness, because I firmly believe that joy marks the path to your version of success. And when we physically and emotionally and mentally feel good, we open ourselves naturally to opportunities. People see that in us, which I think has also been a recurring theme here, is that other people see within us our best work. They see those talents come out. They see those passions, and they think, oh, you know, that's somebody that I could connect with. So I think that ultimately it is about joy, and it's about having happiness and knowing your values, what brings that into your life, and giving your attention to those things versus just what the external world believes you should be giving your attention to. So that would be my number one, is follow the path of joy. And the second would be, realize that a lot of what is holding you back is generational beliefs and societal ideas that you picked up along the way about who you should be, what you should be doing. And it's up to you to recognize them. I don't even want to say shut them down, because realizing those ideas is a way to heal them permanently. So not just to deny them or to shut them down, but to see them and then to choose a higher thought, a thought that is for your greatest good, and to rewrite the narrative for your life. And it takes a lot of courage to do this, and just know that you're not alone on that journey, and you can do it. You can do it.
I love that. There were so many t-shirt things that I was thinking while you were talking, you know, highest thought, greatest good, and joy marks the path. I think that I am going to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. So with that being said, Tamara, what do you recommend others do to help them in this process, in this journey?
I'm a big advocate for journaling, and you talked about writing a lot as well. And I think that journaling is a great way to get things out of your head. It certainly works for me, and put them to bed. So I recommend writing down your negative narratives. So think about everything you're telling yourself that's holding you back from defining and moving closer to your own version of success. Things like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Who do I think I am? It's not the right time. Whatever it is that obnoxious roommate in your head says to you, and I'm sure there's a few things, there's certainly a lot in my head. And then once you've written them down, cross out every one of those negative statements and write a new narrative. I can learn this. I have everything that I need to be successful. And even if I don't, I'll figure out how to get it. Why not me? If not now, when? What about you, Jess?
One of the recurring experiences I've had is this idea of taking your seat at the table. And you mentioned it earlier. You said not only taking your seat at the table, not only taking my seat at the table, but leading at the table.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a big part of this as well, is recognizing that there are things that you can do that no one else can do. They are for you to do. Those ideas, those passions, those desires, that is part of your DNA. And when you answer those ideas, when you say, I'm just going to keep writing. I'm just going to do this one little thing. You keep doing that. It opens up. And that is your path to finding your place at the table and leading at the table. And I just love that. So that's what comes up for me. And I also just recommend that you set your mind for there to be some doubts along the way. That is a natural thing, which is something else we touched on here, is that what was it, that neighbor, or the neighbor, the obnoxious roommate is part of us, because, you know, we were not in control of the narratives we heard growing up. We were not in control of other people's language growing up. But as an adult, we get the opportunity to recreate that for ourselves. And realizing that when those thoughts come up, that's our moment to change them. That's our moment to not allow them to have power over us, because you're good enough. You're good enough as you are. You have everything you could possibly need within you to complete whatever it is you feel pulled to do. And so just decide that even though you have self-doubt, you're going to keep moving forward little by little, little by little. And you're just going to be happy no matter what. Just follow your joy.
That's a great way to end our conversation for today. So you are good enough. Mm-hmm. Give yourself grace. I liked how you said neighbor. Maybe that's it. Turn your obnoxious roommate into your neighbor, move them down the hall, and just keep on going.
You've just listened to an episode of Rooted in Purpose with Jess and Tamira. If you like the content within this episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and join us for the next one.